Testing. Testing. Is it working? How about this one? This one working?
Hello, 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 hello.
Hello, hello. Okay.
Just love great customer service.
Customers.
Right.
They don't get this excited for what?
And make sure when I speak that this is turned up. Because I'm talking pretty good this morning. Don't blow it. I'm ready. But I need the CD to go practice with. Okay. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Holy Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to come together and worship you. Please open our hearts and our minds to your message today. Please bless Dr. Barry, Chad, and Sandra as they lead us in worship and teach us about you. Please keep them safe in your care and guide them in their service to you. Father, if there is anyone here that needs to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, will you touch their hearts today and let this be the day of their salvation? We love you and we thank you. All glory and honor goes to you. In Jesus' holy and righteous name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Welcome to Crestview Baptist Church. Thank you for choosing to come worship with us today. Hey, Thomas. I haven't seen you in a while. Hey, Tom. We'll talk about it later, Thomas. So, yes, before we get started, I want to invite you to just get up, welcome your neighbor, talk to somebody you hadn't had an opportunity to talk to today. Just tell them you're glad to see them. And then we will kick back off with announcements in just a few minutes. Down. I'll see you in a minute. All right. Good morning again. If you are a guest or a visitor with us, we would love to get to know a little bit more about you. There are some cards in the pews that you can fill out if you've been here for the first time, just so we can get to know a little bit more about you. There are quite a few announcements, and I know we have a couple people coming up to talk about some other announcements, I think, but I want to be sure we get them all. First, I want you to be aware of some things going on around in the church this week. First is I want to thank everybody who came to our Youth and Children's Council meeting last week, and we did everything we could possibly do except for one thing that I was tasked to do. And Joy gave me a slap on the wrist and told me to do better. No, I'm just kidding. She really thumped me in the back of the head. But I need to meet with Youth and Children's Counselor for just a minute. As soon as church, well, actually what I want you to do is come to the kids' Sunday school room where I have children's church before you leave, we need to elect a chairman of that committee. So that'll be after today. Don't forget about, and there's also a business meeting today, right? Is it third Sunday? Business meeting after church today. So stick around for that if you can. Tuesday, we started a Bible study on Revelation. It's at 5 o'clock. And then what we did last week, it lasted about, I don't know, about 40 minutes. And then we did some work around here. I was able to solve some problems up there we've been having. And we're going to see how that works out today. And the other guys, they did some cleaning up. Don't forget about our Wednesday night services and our ASL class. If you're interested in that, starts at 5:30. It's in this first room on the left over here. That's where they meet at. And what was it? I was going to say one more thing. I tried to do this one time, and then I kind of fell off because I'm not the most organized person in the world. I don't know if y'all guys know that about me, but I am trying to be better, and I am working on ways where I can be in the sanctuary at least 2 Sundays a month. And so if you want to sign up to assist with Children's Church, let me know. They are, we have been splitting them up, preschool age and then kindergarten through third grade, because our numbers have been so big, which is a great problem to have, right? So I'm working on finding a way to have out 2 weeks of Children's Church at a time. So all you got to do is the Sunday before, you go in there and you grab it, and you're prepared for next week. It's very, very simple Children's Church lessons, because attention spans are not that long at this age. So we come in, we talk about Jesus, we sing some songs, and I feel like we get it done. These kids love it. So if you're interested in that, let me know. Next week, I'm going to work on some information in the bulletin about Fall Festival and Trunk or Treat, and what we talked about for that at the end of October and the beginning of November. So keep an eye out for that next week. October the 22nd, it's on a Wednesday, and the children are going to be packing shoeboxes that week. We've always packed shoeboxes from the stuff we've received, and we dedicate those at a little bit later Sunday, and we send those to Samaritan's Purse. Sandra, what about the Christmas play? The first Wednesday in October, we are going to start practice for our children's play. That'll start at 5:30, right? Or is it 5:30 is the way we do that. And then I'll have a small meal prepared for the kids afterwards. And then we will go into our Bible study, which it's a crazy time of year, but it's a good time of year. And as you can see, Christmas has came early. I'm excited. Talk about Samaritan's Purse. And I think Whitey had something to say. Did you have something to say? Laura, were you getting up too? Not this day. Okay. So Whitey, and then after this, before Pastor Don comes up, if I did it right this week, there's supposed to be a video before the pastoral prayer. So check that out.
Good morning. I just want to say a few words about a couple things about Tuesday night. If you are not busy, come out and be with us on the special thing that Don's doing for us on Book of Revelation. I think you really get a blessing out of that. So that's Tuesday night. We start at 5 o'clock. So come out and be with us there. But this is our North Carolina Missions offering time of the year. And our North Carolina Missions pays for disaster relief. It pays for dental buses. It pays for air flights for people that can't afford the flights or somewhere to be, see a doctor somewhere. There's just a number of things. And also, it pays for our missionaries to go in North Carolina and all around the United States and all around the world. So you hear a lot about Annie Armstrong and some of those offerings and Lonnie Moon, but you don't hear much about the North Carolina Mission. So at this time, I'm going to ask you if you would to rise to your feet, stand up. That way you can get to your wallet a lot easier. And if you want to give some money to North Carolina Missions offering, come forward this time. They're going to put it in these folks' hat. They're going to lay it out there for you. So come on forward and let's meet our goal. Our goal was $2,000. Thank you. You may be seated.
As followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we should be first in line to provide love and hope through the gospel. God has filled our hearts with a joy that must be carried forth in love and ministry to others.
When fear so overwhelming,
our efforts are fueled by the local church for the local church. Volunteers are consistently needed for ministries like disaster response and the work of Baptists on Mission. From preparing meals, rebuilding homes from those displaced by disasters, these volunteers use their skills, talents, and time in response to disaster and construction projects that will further God's kingdom in North Carolina, across the United States, and around the world. A fleet of mobile medical, dental, and health screening units offer free health services to underserved patients, staffed by volunteer medical and dental professionals. Of course, all patients who receive treatment also hear the good news of Jesus Christ from pastors and volunteers who provide care.
Is your faithfulness?
With your help, we also operate mission camps in our state while mobilizing ministry projects that impact our nation and across the world. Your support has also allowed NC Baptist to launch Send NC, a collaborative partnership that seeks to catalyze a church planting movement in cities and towns from the mountains to the coast. Send NC works with churches, associations, and church planting networks to facilitate the launch of new churches, all with the goal of reaching the unreached in North Carolina and beyond. And of course, we also ask that you pray and consider sacrificially giving to the North Carolina Missions Offering. Remember that all your gifts support vital ministries that offer love and hope in the name of Jesus Christ. Offerings received through NCMO help mobilize men, women, and students to use their God-given gifts, talents, and abilities to serve in a variety of ways. It is used to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, relieve suffering, treat the sick, helps plant new churches, respond to disasters, and mobilize volunteers for missions, all with the goal of Romans 15:13, which says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, as you help provide relief for today and hope for tomorrow."
Jesus, I am healed, oh, by your wounds. Jesus, I.
Good morning. As we have our time of pastoral prayer today, just wanted to remind you The WMU is putting on a shower that's coming Sunday, which would be two Sundays from now, October the 5th, a shower for Autumn, Emma, and Olivia. Their aunt, who has been bringing them to church, has now custody of the three girls, and they have very minimal clothing, so this is an effort to try to be able to do a shower for them to help provide some clothing for them. And so please come out in 2 weeks. Is there additional information?
Yeah, we will. So these children lost their both parents. Their dad passed away Memorial Day, and the mom is in another state incarcerated. And so the aunt has temporary custody of them, is trying to get full custody. But the drop-in shower is open to anybody in the church first Sunday in October from 2 to 4. I'm just trying to bless them with that.
Or just find out what size.
We're going to be by each door. Joy and I will be at the doors at the end, and we'll hand out all the sizes for each one of the little girls that you can take with you.
All right. Thank you. Also, on your prayer list, if you've been keeping up, Wednesday we do go through our prayer list. That Lane Downs passed away, who we had prayed for on Wednesday, just to update your prayer list. Would you go to the Lord with me in prayer? Lord, as we come to you, we thank you and praise you for the ways in which you work in our lives. We thank you for giving us joy in our hearts that we want to sing songs of praise to you. We remember at times that you were our strength when we were weak, how you comfort our hearts when we were mourning. You helped us just to get up in the morning when we really didn't want to. You help us face whatever storms life seems to throw at us, and for that we say thank you with all of our hearts. We do pray that you would receive all honor and glory from this service. May it be something that draw us closer to you, and may you be glorified through the music, through the prayers, through the songs, every aspect of the service. And Lord, we just pray that you would be honored, that not only would you draw us closer to you, but closer to each other, because we need each other to survive in this turbulent world. For this is our prayer, this is our hope, and this is our gift to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Laura, would you come and explain the tree and the shoe boxes to the congregation?
Is this close enough? Sandra? Okay. So we have our Samaritan's Purse tree here. With it, we like to have our youth and children kind of put together boxes as much as we can every year that we send off. So our display that we have here this year is, I've noticed throughout the years that a lot of people kind of struggle with what to put in the boxes, especially when it comes to children 10 to 14 years old. So we made the display to kind of give you an idea of what to put in the boxes for each age group, male or female, so you guys can kind of look and see, like, oh, here's some ideas you can put in there for you. Also, we have little ornaments that you can take off the tree to kind of, if you would like to purchase the items to put in the box that are in the vestibule for the children and youth to put in the boxes when they fill up the boxes during our packing day. If you have any questions, just let me know. We are going to have a sewing day on October the 4th. Is that correct? October the 4th, we will be making drawstring bags to go into the boxes also, if you guys would like to come to that. But if you have any questions or anything, please feel free to ask and let me know. But like I said, you guys can come up and look, kind of give you some ideas and samples of what you want, of what you want to put in the boxes or anything, and feel free to take an ornament or two if you would like.
Let us stand as we sing. Let's just praise the Lord. By giving of our gifts and our tithes.
Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach our throne today, we ask you that you would just be with us and you would just still our hearts, Lord, that we would know that you are the great I am. Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity you give us to be able to make a living, Lord, and earn an income. Lord, at this time, we want to give back a portion of what you so bountifully blessed us with, Lord. We ask that you would bless the gift and bless the giver. For us, in Jesus Christ's name, I pray. Amen.
Would you stand again as we sing hymn 333?
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Safe and secure from all alarms. Lean on Jesus, lean on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Lean on Jesus, lean on Jesus. Safe and secure from all alarms. Lean on Jesus, lean on Jesus. Leaning on the everlasting arms.
Amen. Thank you.
All right, guys, how are you?
there. Sit down.
Glad to see you guys today. I'm so excited to be here in the house of the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something. Did you know the Lord talks to us? Did you know that? He does. And I told you last week that I'm going to try to line my children's sermons up with Pastor Don's sermons. And I had that plan. But after seeing us talk about missions this morning, North Carolina missions, God said, this is what I need you to talk about. And I can't explain how God talks to us. It's something you have to learn on your own. You have to learn between you and God, not learn on your own. And but God does talk to us. And so this morning, I want to talk about this missions that we were talking about and why in the world we do it. And I want to let you know that video said something about there are mission camps all over the state. And so they're not in every city. They're not in every county. But did you know that we are blessed enough to have a Baptist mission camp here in Shelby? Did you know that? And they do things like they have a guy who lives there all the time. It's his house. He lives in this area. And they grow and they work. And they fix things. They go out into the communities and fix things with help. And they grow food and give it to the local food banks for people to have when they don't have food to eat. And the money that we were talking about raising this morning, it helps go to pay those missionaries. Because even when we're missionaries and we're serving God, we still have things to do, like bills to pay and things like that. And like Mr. Whitey said, it also helps people go out and be able to go to places that have damage and help out. It makes it possible for people to do that. But what I wanted to ask you guys was, why in the world do we do this? Because I'm going to tell you the honest truth. We live in a world where when you go to school and you get with your friends might tell you sometimes, hey, you worry about you. That's all you need to worry about. Put yourself first. Take care of yourself. That's what the world tells us to do. But God tells us to do something else. He tells us to put serving Him first. Why? Why do you think that is?
Because God is all over all of us.
He is. Would we be here? Would we even have a world or a church if it wasn't for Him? That's right. He created all of that. And would we be able to be forgiven for our sins if it wasn't for Jesus coming and living a perfect life and dying on a cross and rising again? We wouldn't. We would not be able to have that. And so when Jesus came, when He came the first time, He didn't come for people to serve Him and to do what He wanted them to do. He came, He said, to do His Father's work. He came to serve the people. So listen to this verse in Mark chapter 10, verse 45. It says, "For even the Son of Man," guess who that is? That's Jesus, "did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many." And so Jesus came to die for our sins, but He also lived a life, and it was all recorded. He lived a life in a way to show us how we should treat others, how we should love others, how we should pray, how we should serve God. And if Jesus came to serve others, don't you think we should serve others too?
Yeah.
We should. And so what I want you to think about, as I know you guys, some of you guys might be 3, 4. Some of you guys might be 10, 11, and everywhere in between. But do you know you're not too young to serve God? Did you know that? God has ways for each and every one of us to serve Him. And so you could go to school and share Jesus with a classmate. Or maybe you see somebody sitting by themselves at lunch, and you have an opportunity, and nobody's talking to them. And maybe you have an opportunity, you can go to your teacher and say, "Hey, can I sit with the new kid? They look like they're kind of lonely. Can I sit over there and talk to them?" And it gives us opportunities to share the love of Jesus through our actions. And so that's what I want to challenge each and every one of you to do, is to find ways to serve others. Find ways to share the love of Jesus Christ in the way we treat people in our everyday lives. And then we're going to pray, and we are going to go to Children's Church here shortly. But right now, let's bow our heads, okay? God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for loving us the way you do. Thank you for being the God that you are, the God of creation, the God of love, the God who, even though we disobey you, God, you made us a way through Jesus. Give us opportunities. Give us ways to go out and share that love of Jesus with our friends, with our classmates, with our family members, and sometimes, Lord, even with just other people that we meet. Just help us to go out and serve you and use Jesus as an example of what it means to serve other people. Lord, I love you and I praise you and I thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. And I thank you for each and every one of these boys and girls and their parents and grandparents and whoever brought them today. Lord, just we love you and praise you. Amen. All right, guys, have a seat.
In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. We're gathered together to lift up your name, to call on our Savior, to fall on your grace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. We're gathered together to lift up your name, to call on our Savior, to follow your grace. Hear the joyful sound of our offering as your saints bow down, as your people sing. We will rise with you, lifted on your the world will see that.
was checking to see if Robbie's in here, if we needed to have a defibrillator, because we're preaching from somewhere other than Matthew. All right? I think we're all good, Robbie. For the third time since January 1st. Today we read from Judges chapter 6, reading verse 33, and reading through verse 40. Gideon said to God, "If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have promised, look, I will place a wool fleece on the threshing floor. If there is dew only on the fleece, and all the ground is dry, then I will know you will save Israel by my hand, as you said." And that is what has happened. Gideon rose early the next morning. He squeezed the fleece and wrung it out in the dew, bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, "Do not be angry with me, but let me just make one more request. Allow me one more test with the fleece. This time make the fleece dry and the ground covered with dew." That night God did so. Only the fleece was dry and all the ground was covered with dew. May God bless the reading and hearing of his word. Would you pray with me? Lord, we pray that we have open eyes and open our hearts. Pray that we would be open to whatever you have to speak to us this day. May your word inspire us. May your word challenge us. May your word bring us comfort. Lord, just speak to our hearts that which we need to hear. For offer this praise as we offer the service to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Why is a wrapped present like a treasure chest to a child that just has to know what's in it? I had a former mother-in-law. We'd come in, drive to Mississippi, and put the presents under the table, under the tree. She'd walk over. It's a Bible. Something about Christmas presents. We got to know what's in there. Even those fake trees that basically are bricks wrapped up in boxes and put wrap around them, you still want to open them. There's something about wanting to know what's ahead. The desire to know if it's a boy or a girl as strongly as something people want to know, not only parents but grandparents. Why is it that high school students, when they graduate, feel like they have to plan for their whole life before they graduate from high school? Why do grandparents desire to know when is the next time you're going to bring the grandkids over as they're leaving for the most recent visit? Let's face it. Part of us wants to know things before they happen. We want to be able to anticipate something. We don't just want to wait on something and it happens whenever it chooses to happen. We desire the assurance of knowing how things are going to turn out. This is the position Gideon found himself in. Now, this passage we read didn't tell everything about Gideon. One of the things we see about the book of Judges is there's a constant cycle going on. That everything is just fine and then they kind of fall away from God. Then somebody comes and takes over and now they're pleading to God for somebody to come and rescue them. God then answers that prayer by sending in one of the judges. Everything goes fine for a while, but then they start falling back into the old traps and you start the cycle all over again. Well, here at the beginning of chapter 6, Gideon is called out. After 7 years, the Midianites have been attacking the Israelites. And it was bad. It was not just bad, it was really bad. Chapter 6 describes that the Israelites had to flee and live in caves and mountain clefts and strongholds. Whenever they planted crops, their enemies would come and destroy the crops and kill all the animals. They wanted to starve them to death. Neither sheep nor cattle nor donkeys survived. They then cried out to the Lord for a deliverer. And Gideon was the one God chose. Gideon comes, the Lord comes through an angel and speaks to Gideon. And Gideon says, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened when he's called out to be a leader? Why is it like this? Why did God allow this to happen? Where are all the wonders that our forefathers told us when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us in the hand of Midian. But the Lord said, go in strength. You have to save Israel out of Midian's hand, and I am sending you. But Lord, Gideon asked, how can we save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh. I am the least of my family. I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together. If I have found favor, Gideon speaks, in your eyes, give me a sign that it's really you talking to me. Please don't go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you. And the Lord said, I will wait for you to return. Gideon went in and prepared a young goat from an ephah of flour, that's a measurement, and he made bread without yeast, putting meat in a basket and its broth in a pot. He brought them and offered them to him under the oak. The angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and place them on this rock and pour out the broth. And with the tip of his staff that was in his hand, the angel of the Lord touched the meat and unleavened bread, and fire flared from the rock and consumed the meat and the bread. And the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was an angel of the Lord, he said, Sovereign Lord, I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face. There's a lot more that goes on before we actually get to the prayer of Gideon. But I think we find that we actually have a lot more in common with Gideon. We'd like to know what's ahead of time. If there's going to be a layoff at work, we'd certainly like to know about it sooner rather than later. If there's going to be a storm coming, we'd kind of like to know that before it gets here. If something bad's going to happen, as much notice as possible is what we would like. He was fearful. He himself said, I'm puny. I'm the kind of people beat up on the beach. I'm not much. My people are weak. I'm the weakest tribe, and I'm the weakest person in my tribe, which makes me really weak. But God assured he would be the one who had been chosen to be able to bring the people out and defeat the Midians. So the book of Judges, as I said, is this cycle of rebirth or cycle of collapse time after time again. That Israel had to turn away the Midianites. Now he has to raise an army. Well, what's the one thing that's going through your mind in an army? I want to be as big as can be. So he starts putting together an army. But before he does that, before he even agrees to do that, he says, do you mind if I give you an offering? Kind of as a sign. So he goes and prepares the animal, brings the broth, brings the unleavened bread or matzah, brings it, puts it on a rock by the instructions of the angel. Boom. That offering is accepted by God. That should be enough to know that God is really the one who is calling him. God is really the one who will deliver him. But then we come to this passage that we just read at the beginning. It's about a fleece. A fleece is just a piece of cloth made out of wool, not wood. My head is made out of wood. The fleece is made out of wool. And so this wool is placed down on the ground. And the prayer is, Lord, I want it to be all dry around the fleece. And I don't mean to test you. But if you just do this one thing for me, I'd really appreciate it. And so he lays out the fleece. And sure enough, the ground is dry, but the fleece is soaked with the dew. Then he says again, Lord, I don't mean to test you, as he wrings out a whole bowl full of dew that was from the fleece, and says, I'd like for the ground to be wet, but the fleece to be dry. So from our story, we have two times he's asking for a sign from God. Actually, if you go back and read, the offering on the rock makes up a third time that he asks for proof. So the question comes, is it okay to ask for a fleece? God answered each of those problems. Each time, God, all three times, said, I will consume that fire, I will wet that fleece, and I will keep that fleece dry. Three times, Gideon prays for a specific sign. And I understand him being afraid, because the Midianites were so powerful, they basically consumed to wipe them out completely. He assumed himself too weak to be able to do anything about it. And so he was looking for confidence from God, looking for wisdom from God, looking for an assurance from God. But is this prayer really about fleeces? Or is it about faith? Is it about fleeces? Or is it about faith? We too like to know what's ahead. We too like to know what to expect in the near future. We, like Gideon, have to make difficult choices. We have to perform difficult tasks, and we want God's blessings on them. And at what point do we move from asking for God's will to be done and having faith in God's assurance to move toward testing God? Is asking for a sign from God, seeking God's advice, or displaying our lack of faith in God? Remember what Jesus called the disciples when he was asleep in the boat and the storm was raging all about them, and he calmed the seas and he referred to them as little faiths. Years ago, when I was a college student, the one and only time I asked for a fleece, I hesitated being able to do it, but I was really struggling. I was a social work major. I'd accepted a call to ministry, or trying to deal with, wrestling with a sense of call to ministry. And so in my dorm room at the University of Kentucky, one night, I said, God, would you give me a sign? I know I'm not supposed to do this, but would you give me a sign? Well, the next day I got up, getting ready to walk to classes. Classes were a little further apart as they are in Gardner-Webb, sometimes a mile and a half between classes. So I start on my long march from my dorm toward where the academic buildings were. And at the end of the walkway, there was a guy with a bunch of boxes. And I could tell there was something green that he had stacked on top of one of the boxes. And then when I got closer, I started to make out a shape. And when I arrived at the place, he was handing out Gideon Bibles. Now, that may not be a fleece, but I'd never received a Gideon Bible in my life till that day. And so I thought, this is my confirmation. God wants me to be a minister. God has called me into ministry. But you know, as I go back and look at that, I think in terms, was that really... Yes, God answered that prayer, just as he did with Gideon. But is that really a display of God informing me what I'm supposed to do, or is that my lack of faith that I should have already knew that God was calling to ministry and I was just too afraid to accept that call? Because really what this passage is about, it's about the faith to trust in God even when we don't know what the next day holds. Even when we don't know what to expect in the near future. Faith somehow allows us to be able to trust in God even when we don't know the preview of coming attractions. Gideon had three separate signs that God would win the day. He consumed Gideon's offering and performed two miracles with the fleece. But notice after that, things started to change. in chapter 7. So he had amassed 32,000 troops. Well, the last thing you expect or anticipate for somebody to come up and say, you know, that's kind of too many. We got to cut those down. So he has them drink from the water, and the ones that drink from the water a certain way, they're the ones you keep. The rest of them you send back. And he does this twice with two different things, and ultimately he went from 32,000 troops to 300. I don't like that math. I don't think Gideon liked that math. But in the end, it is about trusting that God will do this thing, whether I feel confident or not. That God will do these things, whether I feel strong or not. That God will do this thing if I just get out of the way and let God do it through me. And I think that's really what this passage is all about. Nobody in their right mind would intentionally cut down the number of troops you're taking into battle. But by only taking in, one thing was certain. It was not because of Gideon's sly military training. It is because the hand of God was within him. God proved to be a brave warrior, became a great leader. As a matter of fact, for 40 years there was peace after he took leadership of the group. He brought the victory, and he knew God brought the victory. From that point on, he was a judge. He would decide cases. When people had conflicts, they would come to him. But asking for a sign or seeking God's specific guidance is not always a bad thing. As a matter of fact, Jesus taught us, encouraged us to ask God when we need guidance. The book of James says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to men all generously and without reproaching, and it will be given. We're encouraged to seek God's wisdom. We're to seek out God's kingdom. We are to seek out to do God's will. But the question is, do we have faith enough to do something with it once we receive it? That's the courage that comes with following Jesus. We have to be careful not to listen to God's advice or guidance without demonstrating our willingness to take and place our faith in Him. Fleeces and other signs requested of God can be a means to determine what God wants to have happen. But often, there is simply the fact that we're too afraid to act what we think God wants us to do. Fleeces cannot replace a trust in God. We have to know what the will of God is, seek the will of God, and once we find it, not to say, do you have any other options? But to say, yes, Lord, I will go as you lead me to go. And as we celebrate God's gift to us so long ago, we renew our faith because Jesus became that sacrifice on our behalf. And sometimes when Jesus leads us to do something, it's so easy to fall back to looking for a sign instead of saying, this I saw in the life of Jesus, this I sense that God is leading me to do this through the power of Jesus, therefore by faith I will do what Jesus calls me to do. Let us renew our faith. We don't know everything that's going to happen, but that's not always a bad thing. Sometimes knowing what's going to happen scares you half to death and you ruin the days between then and now. If I knew I was going to be in a car wreck a week from today, I'd be worrying about that and not being present in any time during the week. But one thing we do know, the Lord of today is the Lord of tomorrow. The Lord of today is the Lord of tomorrow. And Jesus taught us, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself because God's already got that in charge. You just live and live fully in this day that God has given you. So when you think about what decisions you have to make, maybe decisions related to work, decisions related to family life, whatever decisions you have to make, do you feel the need to ask God for a sign? Are you really at that in-between point where you really don't know what God wants you to do? Are you willing to follow when only God knows the way? Abraham picked up and started on a trip without GPS and without knowing where he's going. He just knew God wanted him to go, and he got up and went. We know who has Lord over tomorrow. Maybe the hymn says it best to us. When we walk with the Lord, in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. May we make that our anthem that we sing in our heart each and every day, so that we would always be willing to answer God's call when he places it upon our hearts. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the example of Gideon. He was a reluctant servant, but he did become a servant, and you did use him for 40 years to keep the peace. Lord, even when we're reluctant, doesn't mean you still can't use us and use us in a mighty way. We just pray for the courage to be able to follow your leadership and wherever that takes us. Lord, I pray you give us the courage to act on faith and trust you with all that we have and all that we are. And pray that you would give us your will. You would reveal to us things that you would want us to do and things you'd want us to be. And then give us the courage to act on that, whatever would be pleasing to you. We thank you for the sacrifice that you have given through your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray that we can be true disciples by looking to do your will, just as he did. For all this we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you stand as we sing hymn 405, Have Faith in God?
Never alone on the least of his children, have faith in God.
Good morning. We'll go ahead and call this business meeting into order. And we'll ask Miss Dina if she'll come read the minutes from the last meeting.
Church conference meeting was held on August the 17th after the benediction of regular Sunday service. Minutes from the last conference